the brave souls who set their clocks. Good for you. Good. Yeah, we are absolutely, we're always excited when we get to share what is absolutely the signature event in the life of the believer, and that is water baptism. So we're gonna take just a few seconds to talk about this, to explain why water baptism is so important. Can we say our vision here at Blue Mountain Community Church? Do we know what our vision statement is? Can we say it? Our vision is to be a community of believers as described in Acts 2. So what we do is, as we read through here in Acts chapter 2, oh, good, Lloyd's got it on the screen. In Acts chapter 2, this is really what we're looking at here. What has happened to this point is that Jesus Christ has been crucified, put in a tomb, came back to glorious life, and now ascended to God the Father. And he says, I'm going to pour out my Spirit. I'm going to send you a helper who will never leave you or forsake you. And so then the Holy Spirit falls on the believers there, and Peter gets up and he preaches what is known as the first sermon, and we see the birth of the New Testament church right here. And he ends it by saying, therefore, let all the house of Israel know for certain that God has made him both Lord and Christ, this Jesus whom you crucified. So he's talking to the crowds, right? It says, now when the crowds heard this, they were pierced to the heart and said to Peter and the rest of the apostles, brothers, what shall we do? And that's the situation that all of us find ourselves in when we come face to face with the truth of who Jesus Christ is. Our hearts are pierced by that truth. It's decision time. We can no longer live in ignorance. We can reject it or we can accept it, but we can no longer pretend it doesn't exist. And so when our hearts are pierced by the truth, what do we do? What do we do next? Okay? Peter says, repent and each of you be baptized in the name of Jesus Christ for the forgiveness of your sins. And you will receive the gift of the Holy Spirit. And this promise is for you and your children and for all who are far off, as many as the Lord our God will call to himself. So the promise from Peter, from God through Peter, is that the Holy Spirit wasn't just a one and done thing. It's for every person down through time. He's talking to us today. As many people will call upon the name of the Lord will receive this promise of the Holy Spirit. So what do we learn from this scripture? Okay, baptism does not save us. What saves us, and we'll talk about faith today in our message, is that is our faith, our belief in Jesus Christ, that he hung on a cross, that he became sin for us, and through him, we can have a relationship with Christ. So baptism does not save us. Salvation is what saves us. Repentance. Repentance is what saves us. We good with that? Okay. But what do we do from there? The Holy Spirit, then, is what allows us to walk in the new and living way and to experience the abundant life that Jesus promised we could have. How many of you want the abundant life? Okay. The Holy Spirit is what helps us to get there, because it's the Holy Spirit that allows us to be transformed and renewed from the inside out. It's the laying aside of the old self, the self that says, I wanted to do things my way. I want to reject God's truth. I want to live according to my own ways. The Holy Spirit, once we come to repentance, repentance means to literally to turn, to go the opposite direction. The indwelling of the Holy Spirit is what allows us to be transformed, to allow the Word to inform our thoughts, to change our way of thinking, which changes our way of behavior. Baptism is how we identify with Jesus Christ. Just as Jesus Christ hung on a cross and went into a grave, we go into a watery grave here, in which we come out of the water a new creature, just like Jesus came out of the tomb a new being, right? That's what happens to us. In the New Testament, we see this word spirit, Holy Spirit, translated as pneuma, right? That word also means air. So when you come up out of the grave, it feels good to take a breath, because you can't breathe when you're dead, right? What we see throughout the New Testament is that anytime someone comes to this knowledge of the truth, where their hearts are pierced by the truth, the very next thing they do is to get water baptized to receive the Holy Spirit. We don't see infant baptisms. We see that throughout. That's simply not scriptural. I know a lot of other denominations do it. But what Jesus said is that kids are the very kingdom of God. Hi, guys. How y'all doing over there? They're all tired, too. They're like, yep. Jesus said kids are the kingdom of God. They come into this world innocent and pure before him. Their consciences aren't, they only do what mom and dad tell them, and they choose to do right because they trust. It's only as we grow, right, as long as we grow older, that was great comedic timing right there. It's only as we grow older that we begin to choose, right? I mean, how many of you had kids that you see that when they start to experience, they start to choose right and wrong, right? That's what happens to all of us. We begin to choose. We reject God's ways. So it takes a conscious decision to reject God Therefore, it takes a conscious decision to accept him, to turn to him. So baptism is for those who are making that decision in their sound body, right, sound mind, sound spirit, to say, yes, I want this. I want to choose to follow God's ways. So these folks all here have repented. Now they want to take the next step, which is the indwelling of the Holy Spirit, which allows us to be transformed, like I said. The analogy is this way. Jenny and I, we went to a car show last summer, right? And they had this car show, and they had an El Camino sitting there. Anybody know what an El Camino looks like? Yeah, this thing, it was just beautiful, immaculate. But what struck me was they had a picture next to it, a big postcard there next to it, that showed what it looked like before they started the transformation process. And it was just the shell, just the chassis of the car, this rusty, dented, banged-up chassis. And now here sits this completely made new, immaculate, restored car. Repentance is salvation. That's where God the Father steps in and says, I'm taking ownership of the title of this car. It's no longer going to the junkyard. It stays with me forever. All right? That's repentance. The indwelling of the Holy Spirit is the renewal, the transformation that makes it brand new. And not just brand new, not just the original state, but better than it was in the first place. That's the indwelling of the Holy Spirit. So that's why we take time to celebrate it. That's why we take time to talk about it. Because after today, guys, life is not the same. Because you live in the power of the Holy Spirit. You live in a new and living way. You are transformed from the inside out. Good stuff, yeah? Amen. Amen. So that's why we do it. What we're going to do now is let you hear from these folks. Let you hear from their own words. So if you could, just give us your name. And in like 30 seconds, tell us why you're being baptized. Lonnie's giving George
the mic. All right.
Keep the mic nice and close.
Okay. My name is George Sherman, and I'm ready to do this because I'm ready to start living God's way instead of mine.
Amen.
Hi, Lonnie Sherman. About a year ago, God came into my life and has started transforming it, so just kind of continuing that process.
Amen.
What's going on, everybody? My name is Jason Flores. I'm a grateful believer in Jesus Christ. Thank you. And the reason why I'm getting baptized is I want to learn to try to live a new and better life through Jesus Christ.
Amen.
Hey, guys, Amanda. I'm getting baptized today to be closer to God. A lot of good things are happening in life, and I can only see them getting better from here.
Amen.
Name's Ken Schaefer. I made a lot of mistakes in my past, and ever since God came into my life about 6 months ago, things have been turning around, and this is my way of putting all my mistakes in my past and walking with God finally.
My daughter's shy. This is my daughter, Stephanie. She says she wants to be baptized because she wants to be closer to God and Jesus. And she wants to live a good life and go to heaven with her family.
Amen.
I'm Jerry Weed, and I'm getting baptized today so I can be closer to God and Jesus and become an official member of this church.
Amen. That's great. So what we're going to do, the team here will lead us in song and worship. We'll go over in the tank. Ted's going to be in there, right? He'll help us out, right? So we'll lay you back in the water. Right? I promise I won't keep you down. We won't give you the full death experience here. But we're about the life, not the death here. So we'll go in the back. We'll lay you down there. And then as you come out, oftentimes the Lord has a word for you, specifically for you. So we'll see what he does there. In the meantime, you guys just direct your hearts this way and celebrate and love on these folks. And let's see what God does. Yeah? Yeah? All right. There we go. All right. So we're moving on to something a little more special. We're getting a bunch of like little mini messages today. So what we're going to do this morning is we're going to receive some new members. If you're being received as a new member, we're going to do it on the floor today. You'll see why we're doing that, just for something different, okay? So if you're being received as a member, come on up here, all right, and just hang out here on the front. And we're going to talk about membership for just a minute or two. Yeah, I'm looking at the screen. Sorry, because I can't see my screen from here. Okay? So why don't we talk about, come on, guys, you can come fill in right in here behind me and all. Lloyd, am I good here? Good? All right. Well, give me the thumbs up. All right. So why membership? Why do we take time to talk about membership? What is it? Membership is part of the process, really. It's step one for our plan as a church to institute and develop spiritual maturity in people. The church exists for two reasons. Jesus said, go and preach to the lost and make disciples. He didn't say make converts, not pew sitters, not people who follow him, you know, externally only, but truly in their heart. And a disciple is someone who goes and does for others what's been done for them. So there's a four-step process that we believe will bring about spiritual maturity in a believer. The first is membership. And I'm going to read to you from 1 Timothy chapter 3. This is the Apostle Paul writing to his protege, Timothy. Paul started all these churches all around Asia Minor, you know, all that. And then as his time was drawing to an end, he trained others to continue the work. And so he writes to Timothy, and he gives him instructions for how the church should operate. And so he says here, deacons. Now, that word deacon simply means servant. All right, servant. Everybody, we believe that everybody who walks through the doors here has the potential to be a servant, to serve in some way, shape, or form according to the gifts that God has given them, okay? He says, deacons likewise must be men of dignity, not double-tongued or addicted to much wine or fond of sordid gain, but holding to the mystery of the faith with a clear conscience. These men must also first be tested, then let them serve as deacons if they are beyond reproach. Women must likewise be dignified, not malicious gossips, but temperate, faithful in all things. Deacons must be the husbands of only one wife and good managers of their children and their own households. For those who have served well as deacons obtain for themselves a high standing and great confidence in the faith that is in Christ Jesus. All right, so Paul lays it out. He says, if you want to serve, he says, there's a requirement. And it simply is be above reproach. So our philosophy here at Blue Mountain Community Church is you can come as often as you want with zero expectation or obligation from us. We don't, you know, we're not the moral police. We don't go digging for stuff. We recognize everybody comes from different walks of life, different experiences at different places, and we just allow the Holy Spirit to go to work on you. The first step is water baptism. You get filled with the Holy Spirit. He begins to lead you, okay? But we, you know, no pressure obligation from us to become a member or to get involved in any way, shape, or form. You let the Lord lead you. But then we reach this point, okay, where people say, okay, I want to get more involved. That signifies a shift that has occurred in their minds. And that shift is simply this, that you move from being a consumer, one who takes, to an investor, one who gives back. And that's a big difference, okay? And again, we don't put pressure on anybody who wants to be a consumer. That's fine. You're okay, really. But for those who want to become an investor, Paul says here the standard kind of goes up a little bit because we have to recognize that as a servant, we are representing not just the church, but Jesus Christ himself. And so Paul says, let them first be tested. And so we look at that as you're tested. You guys come to a five-hour class and endure it, right? And as you go through that class, and you find out, we go through our mission, our vision, and our values, and you say, okay, is this something I want to be a part of? And we talk about the requirements for membership, which you see up there, water baptism, commit to serving in a local ministry, in a ministry, and commit to the concept of tithing. Commit to the concept, okay? Just, again, you allow the Holy Spirit to go to work on you. We kind of put that out there because we have to recognize the example that we are being to other people, especially our kids, right? It's not about being perfect, but it's about, making this intention and say, you know what? Paul says, let their house be kind of be in order. And then, so now you're stable so that we can build on that because the church, we don't look at it as a church where, like Jenny and I or Ted or Pastor Rick or any of the staff, the CMT members, they do it all. That's not how the church operates. Paul says the church is designed to operate where all the people, all the parts work together, just like a human body, to fulfill its purpose and its mission. So we need all of you to do your part. But in order to do that, you got to be somebody that we can kind of put responsibility on. And so that's why Paul says, be tested first, and then, okay, give them some responsibility. So these folks are applying, really, for the position of a servant, a deacon, to serve in the church as according to their gifts, and then we see what God does, right? And then we see what the next step. So membership is 101 for maturity. And then we move into, you know, our discipleship class, which Jenny talked about, which is another 18 weeks of spiritual development, okay? But this is the first step. So these folks are to be commended because they've made the decision, you know what? I want to move from a consumer to being an investor. I want to help the church accomplish its mission to help today's generation come to know, love, and serve Jesus. All right, so that's why we do it. We take some time out here to talk about it. We have a certificate and a covenant form that we're going to read so they know exactly what the fine print is of the contract they're signing here. And then we're going to let them, again, same thing, let them let you hear from them in their own words what God's doing in their life and why now is the time for them to become a member. So. Hi, love.
Hi, how are you?
Great.
So this is our membership covenant. It says, having received Christ as my Lord and Savior and been baptized, and being in agreement with BMCC's vision, mission, strategy, and structure, I now feel led by the Holy Spirit to unite with the Blue Mountain Community Church family. In doing so, I commit myself to God and to the other members to do the following. Now, if you've signed one of these, listen up, because this is what you signed. Number one. I will protect the unity of my church by acting in love toward other members, by refusing to gossip, by following the leaders, by speaking the truth in love. Number two, I will share the responsibility of my church by praying for its growth, by inviting the unchurched to attend, and by welcoming warmly those who visit. I will serve the ministry of my church by discovering my gifts and talents, by being equipped to serve by my pastors, and by developing a servant's heart. And four, I will support the testimony of my church by attending faithfully, by living a godly life, and by giving regularly.
Amen. So that's what you sign up for. Are you still good with all that? Yep. Okay, great. So what we'd like to do is hear from you guys, all right? Give us your name and in 40 seconds, all right? Not 30 seconds, 40 seconds. Tell us why you're becoming a member.
First and last name, and then why you're becoming a member.
I'm Jerry Weed, and I'm becoming a member of the church because I love coming here to praise the Lord, whether it's in person or on live stream. And my wife and I have felt welcome every time we come here since our first service, the Christmas 2017 at Penn's Peak.
Cool. Awesome. Thanks, Jerry.
I had to write mine down. It's not long. I moved here in November 2017, and or I'm Kim Weed, so.
Just got married, right?
Yeah, yeah, we just got married. so you married us, you dunked him, you dunked
my daughter,
and now we're becoming members.
That's awesome.
That's pretty cool.
I married Jenny.
She knows. Yeah.
I moved here in November of 2017, and I quickly found that not everybody that I had met was in my corner. I found that support doesn't always come from familiar faces and that God places strangers in our lives to take us to higher places. From my very first service here at BMCC on Christmas Eve 2017 at Penn's Peak, I was hooked. I have always been made to feel welcome here and I've never felt like I didn't belong. We try to get here every Sunday, but sometimes life happens and we find ourselves unable to attend. On those weeks, we are grateful for live stream. We have even listened in on services on our drive home from weekends when my husband's Army unit has drill. What a blessing that also today, I hate talking in front of people.
That's all right.
What a blessing that also today my oldest daughter and husband are being baptized as well, or awesome. Were baptized. It brings me great joy that they too feel at home here as well. I want to become a member of BMCC because I want to be closer to Jesus. I want to think of God for who he is, not what he can do for me. I have seen God work miracles in my daughter, and I truly feel at peace every time I walk in the door.
Thanks, Kim.
Hi, my name is Amber, and I am a grateful believer in Jesus. And I have been coming here for 5 years this May through the Celebrate Recovery program. And it's been 5 years, and it's time, and I love my Blue Mountain Community Church family. Everyone has been super patient, not judgmental, helpful, and I'm ready to serve.
Awesome.
Thank you.
My name's George Sherman. I'm a grateful believer of Jesus Christ. Been coming to this church since June of 2019. I feel like I'm at home here. I'm ready to do this God's way and also be part of the church.
Lonnie Sherman, I'm a grateful believer in Jesus Christ. This is my husband, George. As he said, we've been coming since June of 2019. We were looking for something different. We found it. We love coming here. We love building a relationship with Jesus, and we just want to continue to serve and build that relationship.
Yes, Lord.
I'm Tara Strausberger. I'm here today because I love God, and I'm working on getting a good foundation in my community to get my family back together.
Hi, I'm Dave Shoemaker. We went to another church, and because of my condition, I was told I had to sit in the back. Well, if I sit in the back, I can't see because my eyes aren't that good. Since I've been coming here in December, it was nothing but love and outpouring from everybody, and that's why I want to join. Amen.
My name's Heather Kickline Shoemaker. As he said, we've been coming since the last Sunday in December. I've gone to many churches, but this church feels like home. I've learned so much more about the Bible since I started coming that I never knew. And there's just something completely different about this church. It feels like home. So I want to become a member.
Amen. Thanks. So what we'll do, just like we did with baptism, Paul says to lay hands on no one too suddenly, but first let them be tested. And they've been tested, and so Jenny and I are going to go down, and we're just going to lay hands on them, ask for God's anointing and for him to stir up the gifts that he's placed within them to equip them to serve in his church. So again, just direct your hearts this way, and we'll see what he does.
All right. Well, thank you, Jesus.
Dave, we lay our hands on you in the name of Jesus Christ to receive you as a member of Blue Mountain Community Church and commission you as his ambassador and representative.
Dave, the first will be last. The last will be first. The Lord says, you're not invisible. I see you. I know you, and I know that you love me, that you long for to be as close as possible to me. And I am around you, and I will use you, your love and your kindness, to help others to feel welcome here. We receive you, Dave, as a precious part of the body of believers here at Blue Mountain Community Church. Thank you, Father.
Amen.
Thank you.
Heather, we lay our hands on you in the name of Jesus Christ to receive you as a precious part of the body here and to commission you and release you as his ambassador to the world at large.
Yes.
In Jesus' name.
Thank you,
Lord. Heather, the Lord says, you've been faithful through much. And experienced some of the not so pleasant parts of life, the Lord says. But the Lord says also that I reward those who are faithful to me, who remain humble of heart, who continue to see the world not through the jaded eyes of humanity, but through my eyes, the Lord says. Eyes of compassion, eyes of mercy, eyes of grace. And because of that, the Lord says, great and mighty are the things I'll do through you, in you, and around you. In Jesus' name.
Thank you, Jesus. Father, we just thank you for Tara's eagerness to follow you and to get her family life together, Lord. We just ask you, Lord, to bless her abundantly. Help her to draw nearer to you, Lord, as you are drawing near to her and showing her that you are the only way, Lord, that you are the way, the truth, and the life. And Tara says, Tara, the Lord says, I love you. I love your heart. I love your ambition. And I am with you. As long as you keep my word, as long as you stay in my word, you will know the truth. The truth will make you free.
Amen.
Thank you, Father. Amen. Thank you, Father.
Lonnie, lay our hands on you in the name of Jesus Christ to release you as an ambassador and receive you as a precious part of the body here in Jesus' name.
Lonnie, you have run many races. The Lord says this is a brand new race. And you will run it with endurance. As you hold my hand, I've passed a baton to you, and it's time now to run. You will run and not grow faint. And I will use you as you just see people across your path, people that you've known for a long time, that my light will shine from you, the Lord says, and you will draw them to me just by being yourself. Lonnie, we receive you as a precious and vital part of the body of Christ here at Blue Mountain.
Thank you, Lord. George, lay our hands on you in the name of Jesus Christ to receive you as a precious part of the body and to release you and commission you as his ambassador and his representative to the community and to the world in Jesus' name. George, I believe the Lord says that he is drawing you and Lonnie together in that third cord does, a cord that is not easily broken, that the Lord has placed within you then a strength not found in a lot of people, the Lord says. Because of that strength, because you use that strength according to the way it was intended from the beginning, not as a bully and not to abdicate, but to that balance of support and strength and stability to others, the Lord says, I will use that. Use that in your family and in those around you, those I've entrusted to you. Because they need you. They need me, the me that's in you, the Lord says. And so as you are strength, the Lord says, I will be your strength. Lean on me, not on your own understanding, your own power, but my abilities, the Lord says. And we'll do it together, he says.
Thank you, Lord.
Amen.
Amen.
Thank you. Amber, we lay our hands on you in the name of Jesus Christ. To receive you as a precious part of the body and to release you and commission you as his representative to the world in Jesus' name.
Amber, as your children are watching from home right now, they're proud of their mom. And the Lord says, I'm proud of you, Amber, for all the steps you've taken to get closer to me, the obstacles that you've jumped over, the opinions that you pushed to the side to follow me. Lord says, I'm rewarding you for that. Continue in my word. Continue to fight the good fight. Don't give up. Don't give in. I've got you. I'm carrying you. All those things that you're facing right now that you haven't even been able to put into words, the Lord says, I know them. I understand them. I have it all sorted out. It's going to be okay. We receive you, Amber, as a precious part of the body of Christ here at Blue Mountain Community Church. In Jesus' name.
Amber, I just believe the Lord says that good things do come to those who wait and do things according to my ways. So as you've been faithful and patient, the Lord says, I'll pour out a blessing you can't contain.
Yes.
Amen. Okay. Kim, we lay our hands on you in the name of Jesus Christ. To receive you as a precious part of the body and to release you and commission you as his representative in Jesus' name.
Kim, the Lord is saying, I see the word patience. I've given you a great deal of patience. And as you have felt that you have been waiting for a long time, I am at work in those moments of waiting. I did not turn a deaf ear to your prayers. I'm with you. I'm working. But I'm stirring in you a patience and a trust that you will just be able to lie back and rest in my arms and not try to fight, but just rest in me. And Kim, that patience will be used here at the church as well. As you listen to people's hearts, as you're patient with their circumstances and situations, I will use your words and your wisdom that you've gained through all the waiting to help others. The same way that I helped you. Can we receive you now as a precious and vital part of the body at Blue Mountain Community Church? In Jesus' name.
Amen.
Amen. Thank you, Lord.
Jerry, we lay our hands on you in the name of Jesus Christ to receive you as a precious part of the body and to release you as his ambassador and representative in Jesus' name.
Yes.
Jerry, I believe the Lord says that you have traveled wide and far. You've experienced much. And that's given you a vast treasure from which to rely on and pull on as you share with others. But I believe the Lord says to you that no matter where you go, what you experience, what you go through, that I am your home. I am your sure foundation. I am your place of comfort, of rest, of belonging, just as you are. And because you have been faithful and because you have been obedient, the Lord says, that I will open up windows of heaven, pour out a blessing upon you, upon your wife, upon your children, upon all that you do, everywhere you put your foot, the Lord says, I've made you more than a conqueror and a victor in me. Receive it now in Jesus' name.
Thank you, Lord. Amen.
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 Amen. Amen.
All right, give these guys a round of applause.
All right.
You may be seated. Welcome, everybody. We love you guys.
Welcome. Thank you. Love you guys. Love you guys. Give you hugs real quick here. Got to do that, right? Got to make it official. All right. One headline. All right. Heather, go this way. Dave. Get you in here with my microphone there. All right. Okay.
Yep.
Do you have a final song or no?
No.
Just so I know.
Nope.
No. Okay. Okay. All right. That was our second mini message. I do have a message here. And I guarantee you, right? Four scriptures in 4 minutes. You ready? We are continuing our series on living by faith. Faith and maturity, a winning combination. We're going to tie this all together. Hebrews 11, chapter 1, 11, verses 1 and 2. Faith is the assurance of things hoped for, the conviction of things not seen, for by it the men of old gained approval. That is our definition of faith. Faith is action that is based on an unseen future as if it were a present reality. Okay, because we've been talking about in this series that we cannot act contrary to what we believe. We will do what is in our heart of hearts. And that's why we struggle, because we can know scriptures and we can know all this stuff, and yet if we don't believe those things, then our behavior doesn't line up. That's why we get frustrated. So faith is all about working, and is this process by which we allow the Holy Spirit to go to work to strip away the lies, all the stuff that's been buried within us that causes us to act accordingly. And so when we understand God's truth and he sets us free, then we have a true belief system. Now our behavior changes. That's what faith is. That's a process. Faith is action. It's a process that takes place over time. Doesn't happen overnight. That's the intention. God wants to walk through this life and have this journey with us. Okay, so that's what faith is. Then we read what Paul says in Romans chapter 1 and Romans chapter 3 to reiterate what we talked about earlier in baptism. Okay, for in it, he's talking about the gospel that Jesus Christ hung on a cross for our sin. In it, the righteousness of God is revealed from faith to faith. As it is written, the righteous man shall live by his faith. And then in Romans 3, he says, we maintain that a man is justified by faith apart from works of the law, which simply means we are saved not by what we do, but simply by what Jesus has already done. That's the difference between, I say, well, our baptism does not save us. Baptism is a work. It's something we do. We're not saved by anything we do. Our attempts to be good enough with God fall ridiculously, pitifully short. We are saved simply by the grace, by God doing what we cannot do ourselves, which is make a way for us to be righteous in his eyes. All we have to do is believe in what we have not seen. Simply, as we know, did anybody hear? Was anybody around when Jesus hung on a cross, came back from the dead? No, we can't see. We have to take that on faith and then act as if our righteousness with God that we can't see is a present reality. Okay, so we are saved by faith. Are we good with that?
Yeah.
Yep. All right, good. Thanks, James. All right, James chapter 2 then is the other side of this coin, though. James says, but someone may well say, well, you have faith and I have works. Show me your faith without the works, and I'll show you my faith by my works. Are you willing to recognize, you fool, that faith without works is useless? You see that faith was working with his, Abraham's, and we'll talk about Abraham in the coming weeks. Faith was working with his works, and as a result of the works, faith was perfected or completed or made mature. How many of you want to be mature? In God's eyes, anyway, right? Not so much with it. Anyway. Got 3 minutes, Cliff. Keep moving. Faith is action, right? According to Hebrews 11, that's our definition. Faith is action. And action, then, is proof of our faith, because we can't live contrary to what we believe. We have to do what's within our nature, okay? So we are not saved by what we do, But what we do should be the evidence that we are saved. That's the difference, okay? And that's the vast difference between Christianity and all other religions, because all religions are about, well, if you do all these things, then you'll be good. And God says, no. You are good because of what I've done, therefore be good. All right? So faith should result in action. If faith is movement towards an unseen future, as if it were a present reality, it should require us to do something, which is why we celebrate it today. People are being obedient to his truth to get baptized, to get wet for Jesus, and then come out in newness of life, to become a member, to move from becoming a consumer to an investor. That's all action based on an unseen future. That's our main point for today, that we are saved by grace, but we move by faith. Okay? So as we go through all this, you go, okay, that's great. They got baptized. I did, been there, done that, or I became a member. Okay. But what's the next thing then in your life? And that's the question I'm going to ask here in just a minute. What's the next thing in your life? Where do you need to move according to faith? We're saved by grace, but where do we move by faith? And then we have this. Why is that all important? In Acts chapter 26, this is the Apostle Paul reiterating what his salvation experience was like when he met Jesus Christ. And Jesus said to him, get up, stand on your feet. For this purpose, I have appeared to you to appoint you a minister and a witness, not only to the things which you have seen, but also to the things in which I will appear to you, rescuing you from the Jewish people and from the Gentiles to whom I am sending you, to open their eyes so that they may turn from darkness to light and from the dominion of Satan to God, that they may receive forgiveness of sins and an inheritance among those who have been sanctified by faith in me. What's he saying there? Okay, that word, first of all, he says, Jesus says, I am sending you as a minister. Okay, we talked about a servant, a deacon before, right? This word minister means, this is really fascinating. It means a servant, particularly a rower on a ship. Think about the old time ships, right? They had all the guys in there, pull, right? Okay, that's what Jesus is saying. I am calling you, Paul, to be a minister, to be a rower on a ship, one of a crew. That's fascinating to me because he uses the word minister, which we think, oh, the minister is a guy who does it all, right? He does all that stuff. But Jesus is saying, no, Paul, I am calling you to be one of a crew to help accomplish a mission under the directive of the captain. What is that mission? He says it. Open the eyes of those in darkness, bring forgiveness to those in sin, and share the inheritance of those who have faith in Jesus. So faith, which is action, works with maturity, that process, to make a kingdom impact. That's the purpose. That's why we take time to put all these things together. You know, that's why this is really the beautiful picture of what the church should be about. Moving someone from those who were lost in sin, who come to that, who have their hearts pierced by the truth, come to the knowledge, Jesus Christ is my Savior. I repent. I have that relationship with him. Now I get baptized with the Holy Spirit. Now I begin to work and I begin to serve because I love him and I want to help him accomplish his mission. And then as a result, more people come to know him, love him, and serve him. That's the purpose. That's why the church exists. If we make it about anything else, we've missed the point. So that's why I love these kind of Sundays. You know, it's this perfect storm, maybe like twice a year, where we have baptisms and membership and all that stuff. But you get to see this is what it's all about. This is what it's all about. All right? So maturity does not just benefit the person that goes through it, but every person in their circle of influence. Every person that was up here, every person that got baptized has people in their lives that God has entrusted to them for them to reach, to be the light in the darkness, to show them that there's a better way, the new and living way that they don't have. Okay? God calls us each to be a lighthouse for people, that point of contact that says, here, I found the safe path. Follow me as I follow Jesus Christ. Okay? The benefits of being obedient to God's word and asking for increased accountability, because that's what membership's about. It's really saying, I want to be held accountable. I want to be held to a higher standard. The benefits for accountability and maturity are God is glorified, people are edified, and you are satisfied. That's a win-win-win right there. All right, that's far better than anything else that the world has to offer. Okay, so that's why we do it. That's why we take the time to do this. And we're so thankful that you all came out and celebrate with these folks. Make sure you love on them and give them a high five, fist bump, right? We don't want to be spreading germs, okay? So, all right, we can, without panic, but we cannot spread germs. Give them a nod. Yeah, give them the brother. Yeah, good for you. High air. Okay. Win, win, win. So the question simply today, as we end our time here, simply is this. What step do you need to take today to have a winning combination? What's the first thing? I'm going to ask everyone here to close your eyes for just a minute. because the very first step may well be that relationship with Jesus Christ. So if you're here today and you've never had a relationship with Jesus Christ and you want to start one today, I'm going to ask you to put your hand up and look at me so I can agree with you. Anybody here making that decision? If you're on live stream, you know, give me a call or email me this week. I see you there in the back. Anyone else? I see you there. Amen. All right. I see you there. Second question then is there an area in your life in which you need to move in faith to have that combination where God is glorified, others are edified, and you are satisfied? If you're facing something like that, then just put your hand up. We're just going to agree with you in prayer. I see you there. Yep. Balcony crew in the back. Gotcha. Amen. Amen. I'm going to lead us in a prayer, church, just one sentence at a time. We know that when we pray and we're authentic in our hearts, that God hears us. Let's pray. Lord Jesus Christ, thank you that you love me and you did all this stuff so I could have a relationship with you. Today, Lord, I turn to you. I give my heart to you. I give my life to you. Every part. Have your way, Lord. Thank you, Lord, that you help me to live according to your ways. And to move according to the faith in my heart, not according to the circumstances. And I thank you, Lord, that as a result,